Fargo's needle exchange program sure has grown up. Not sure if that's a good thing or not. Mike Lindell is in for the Minnesota governor's race. Now the state has to decide if that's a good thing. And the state of North Dakota gets approval from the federal government to take some of the good things, so-called good things, off the list of approved foods for the SNAP program. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Alsham here with you for the Steve Alsham Show. Hopefully this will be a good thing in your list of things that you do here on this Thursday afternoon. I am in Watford City today, one of the places I enjoy going. We've got a little business out here, and so I'm doing this show from here today in the Watford City studio out in KTGO and the Bach and Buzz country, McKenzie County Farmer country, and we're doing our annual Christmas party out here tonight. So it is a day for reflection, certainly, on a year that has gone by. Can't believe it's been basically a full year already, but we're looking back on a good year out here today, and I hope that you can take a look back on a good day and a good year for you and yours today here on the show as well. Got a busy show today. As always, the news cycle is jammed with a lot of really interesting things. We're going to try to pass along as many of them as possible to you. We're going to have a guest today. We're going to meet a new business executive that we've not had on the show. Her name is Terry Zimmerman, and she is the CEO of a company called Packet Digital. And I saw a press release of theirs not too long ago, and I said, hey, this is the kind of thing I get excited about, learning about a new business in town. So Terry was kind enough to jump on the calendar for today. We're going to visit with her about Packet Digital, fast-growing company. We're going to find out what they do and why we should be aware of what they are doing here in our community. So we'll do that today. I will do what I have promised to do for you for 3 days now, and I promise that I will be a man of my word today. Going to give you the high points of the first GOP governor's candidate forum. I don't want to call it a debate because it wasn't a debate. It was just a chance for candidates to talk about what they are going to be focusing on if they are the one to come out of the pile on the GOP side to run against Tim Walz in 2026. And they're going to also try to separate themselves from the pack a little bit. So we'll break down that effort a little bit. And there is news today because there is a new candidate in that mix that was not part of the candidate forum the other night. So we'll tell you about that as well. One of the most interesting stories I've heard in a long time about the Minnesota, I don't know what you even want to call it, the saga about the Somali population in the Twin Cities is the story that Jay Thomas was telling us about yesterday that our friend Liz Collin broke on Alpha News, that there is a former TSA agent who worked airport security at the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport who said it was regular to see pairs of Somali men with big suitcases full of cash coming through the airport. And that got a lot of people talking yesterday, apparently, because I got a bunch of emails and texts after the show about that. And I know that Jay talked about this with Kevin today as they were filling in for Scott on the What's on Your Mind program. I want to keep this conversation going because if this is true, I guess it is one of the biggest sources of confirmation of one of the biggest scandals that the state of Minnesota has ever seen. Maybe the biggest scandal that's ever happened in the state of Minnesota, because what is being alleged, and now what we're starting to find that we might have some evidence of, is that our tax money, our federal tax money, went to D.C. with our tax returns, whatever you pay in or any other whatever economic activity that goes to the federal government. That money went back to Minnesota after COVID for the Feeding Our Future program and others, and that money allegedly ended up getting misappropriated. I'll use that word to be kind. And basically ending up in suitcases, going over to places overseas where it ended up in the hands of Somali gangs. So our tax money ended up funding foreign terrorism. Just a direct check that you and I wrote to foreign terrorism. Now that's the allegation. There is not proof, but there are starting to be pieces of this story that corroborate the premise. And that happened today, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll kind of give you the whole story on that one today because I think it's going to be a really big talker if it's not already. And something I imagine the White House will be watching very carefully, maybe getting involved with. The rumor mill is swirling about Kristi Noem. President Trump said there's not really anything going on here. So we'll talk about that too. And then before we finish up today, I will tell you that it has been a very difficult day for yours truly. I like to say on the show that we do life together, and I had to do some life today as I found out that a very dear friend of mine passed away this morning. Unexpectedly, age 60, had a heart attack this morning. He's as active as I am. I'm a marathon guy. He does it differently, plays soccer, referees high school sports, and I have been shook up all day long about that. And I just want to give a couple of thoughts on that today, because we do life together here on the program. And many of you, probably all of you, have gotten similar calls in your life. And sometimes it's just good to sort of talk it out with the people that are in your world. And you, my friend, are a part of my world. So this will be a little bit of therapy for me today. So we'll do all that today here on the Steve Hallstrom Show before we finish up. Phone number 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. And I'm coming to you from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's the website to find out more about what's happening at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton, where 15 minutes is all it takes to get you into a brand new vehicle or a really nice used vehicle. Those are just as nice, too. So a lot of ground to cover here today on the show, so let's get to it with the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines with a rapid-fire rundown of what has happened on this busy and eventful Thursday. Can you believe it's Thursday already? Seems like the week just started, and here we are. It's Friday Eve, and you can see the weekend from here. Taking a look today at our almanac on December 11th, 2025. Oh, I forgot to do what I normally do here. It is December 11th, 2025, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. All right, got that out of the way. Average high for this day is 26, average low is 9, record high 54 back in 1939, and on this day in 1945, it was minus 21. Brr. Sunrise this morning at 8:02, sunset at 4:38. In the markets today was a mixed day on Wall Street. The Dow was up big. A lot of things did well, but some technology companies did poorly today, and that brought the NASDAQ down. Not much, but a little bit, down 60 points. The S&P 500 was up 14. So a little bit of everything in the market today. Out here in Watford City, they've been watching the WTI crude oil price, and that dipped today under $58, $57.90. Closing crude oil prices, just more supply flooding the market. And companies out here, they don't love drilling when it's $57 a barrel. They like it better when it's $70, $75, $80. You can understand why they get more for their product. Those of us that like filling up our gas tank for less than a mortgage payment are just fine with it. We continue to see downward pressure on oil prices. Gold today up $84 an ounce. The rampant run-up just continues in gold and silver. People must just be convinced that the world is going to come to an end pretty soon, because you cannot explain these numbers really any other way. So gold up 2 percentage points today, $4,309 an ounce is a price at close. Silver up almost 5% today, up $2.94 to close at $63.97. $63 an ounce for silver. Bitcoin today, about the same as it was yesterday, about $93,000 or so. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $2.94, about where it was yesterday. North Dakota average price $2.69, although I'll say out here in the patch, it's about that where at home, I think I heard somebody say earlier today, 215 now in the metro. So we'll take that. Out here in the western part of the state, a little higher. South Dakota, 269, Minnesota, 277. In the news today, a Fargo City Commissioner, Michelle Turnberg, is demanding answers about a needle distribution program that she says has provided nearly 1 million needles to residents over the past 2 years. Jay Thomas tipped us off about this. But Turnberg posted on social media last night that the city in 2024 and year-to-date 2025 has distributed almost 1 million needles. She says, I have questions. Where's the money coming from? What's being given out? And who is paying for it? She says she's been told to stay in her lane regarding her inquiries into the program. Isn't that just like the way we do it in Fargo? But she says Fargo residents deserve answers. I'll keep fighting to uncover the truth. A million needles, you guys. A million needles. Like, there's only 200,000 people in this whole metro area. And in 2 years, every one of them on average has gotten 5 needles. What the heck is going on? What are we doing with these needles? Someone must be packaging them up and sending them overseas and starting a cottage industry. I don't know. Turnberg is going to keep asking what happens to all, like, are they being used? You'd think they'd be 3 inches deep in the street if we'd really given that many out in the last 2 years, unless they are going elsewhere. Interesting stuff. Their form reports that a 64-year-old Horace woman was found dead after a residential fire south of town on Tuesday night. The homeowner, according to authorities, returned shortly before 7 o'clock, found the house filled with smoke, and the woman was found inside. Cause of the fire remains under investigation. You don't often hear stories about this. You hear about fires, but you don't often hear people dying. You certainly don't hear much about people coming home, finding their house on fire, going inside, and then dying. Not sure if she's trying to rescue a pet or other people or whatever. More details will be coming in the days ahead. Valley News Live reports that North Dakota prosecutors have added another chapter to this weird story about Tyreek Jones. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. It never ends. North Dakota prosecutors have decided not to proceed with the extradition of Jones. They have filed a motion to dismiss that whole process. It's called Dismissing the Probation Revocation Petition. Say that 3 times fast. And to eliminate the order to apprehend. The decision comes after Jones waived his right to fight extradition. And Jones, who faced an unrelated terrorizing charge in North Dakota, I guess just agreed to go back to North Dakota with authorities there. And so this is probably more of about a formality that didn't have to happen because he voluntarily agreed to go back to North Dakota with law enforcement to face the arrest warrant that's out for him already. So he's got that terrorizing charge to deal with. So he's on his way back, although it sounds like it's happening in a different way than everybody thought it might. Forum Today reports that North Dakotans who are getting federal food assistance will soon not be able to use those benefits to buy candy, pop, and other snack and junk foods after the state implements changes approved by the Trump administration. I should just stop right here and say, aren't you glad there are adults back in the room? That's your money and mine, so don't be fooled. Our tax money going so that people who are impoverished, and again, I'll say what I've said a million times, it is a good thing for our society to help those who cannot help themselves. They should not be helping themselves to pop and candy on taxpayer money. So under the Biden administration, nobody seemed to care. And in fairness, I guess this happened in the Trump administration too, the first time around. But somebody finally got smart on this and said, what are we doing? So North Dakota applied through the U.S. Department of Agriculture for a food restriction waiver, and it was approved. So order has been restored. He is in. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell has launched his campaign for Minnesota governor. He did this today at his location down in the Twin Cities at his warehouse in Shakopee, promising that he will fix the state's problems, run the government like a business, and not back down from his election fraud theories. I'm reading a Star Tribune recap of this, so I have to sort of edit it as I go, as you can tell, because about every other sentence they put something in there like, Lindell, known to be a total wackadoodle, or Lindell, who is delusional about his conspiracy theory. So I'm siphoning those things out there. But the jump in here by Lindell is definitely notable in this race. He is the most well-known person who is now running in a field of about a dozen candidates on the GOP side for governor. He is also likely, reports the Star Tribune, to be a top contender for the GOP nomination due to his prominence in the Make America Great Again movement. Lindell said, I'll be the most transparent governor this country has ever seen. And Lindell said he considers himself now the front runner for the position. He has had some legal and financial trouble, as you know, but there has not been a more passionate fighter for the cause than Mike Lindell, and he will get some strong support. Will it be enough? I don't know. Will anyone else be able to rally enough momentum to supersede him? That I don't know either. Very interesting. How do you see Mike Lindell in this race? I'd be curious what you think. You can email me, studio@flagfamily.com. You can also call 701-271-1100. Text line not as easy for me to get at today, just so you know. You can try it, but calls and emails are preferred today. Lindell, one more note on this. Rudy Giuliani, Trump's former personal lawyer, is an advisor to him in this campaign. So, interesting note there. CNBC reports that home prices in America have gone negative for the first time in more than 2 years, and they might stay that way for a while. Home prices are down 1.4% over the last 3 months, and active listings in November were nearly 13% higher than last year at this time. So home prices going down, maybe some deals to be found there. And finally, DEA agents, so Drug Enforcement Agency agents, have seized more than 100,000 fentanyl pills in Minnesota and 3,500 in North Dakota this year as part of a nationwide crackdown on synthetic opioids that have killed nearly 325,000 Americans since 2021. So that's just this year. 100,000 fentanyl pills in Minnesota, 3,500 in North Dakota. It's part of the Trump administration's Fentanyl-Free America campaign. And can't we all agree that this is a very good thing, that this is happening and these drugs are off our street? Wow. All right, 424 Steve Hallstrom Show. Let's go to the newsroom right now. Austin Erickson is in a little early with us. We got some breaking news happening in Fargo. Austin, take it away.
Yes, I do. There is a police presence, a heavy police presence at the 1500 block of Broadway North. They have the area shut down. Police are asking you to avoid the area. I'm hearing an officer on a loudspeaker say, Damien, come out with your hands up. You're under arrest. It looks like they're police officers are looking at an apartment building, but I'm a couple blocks away and can't go any closer. Now, this is around a block away from Ben Franklin Middle School and Holy Spirit School. I did see one squad car outside of Ben Franklin Middle School. That's presumably just as a precaution. But at this point, that's all I know so far.
Okay, Austin. So give us the location again. You're on Broadway in on the north side of downtown at what street?
So it's the 15th Avenue and Broadway, and there's police blocking off that intersection of Broadway and 15th Avenue North.
Okay,
they're asking
Broadway
you to avoid
15th.
That area.
Okay, so we're up almost kind of by North High School. We're up a little ways, kind of getting toward a little ways away from downtown. Makes sense. Okay, Austin, we appreciate your hard work as always. Keep us updated as the show goes on, and if you have anything new, make sure you get back in touch with us. Appreciate the report.
I will. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Austin. All right, when we return on the Steve Hallstrom Show, might the Federal Reserve be looking at the wrong numbers when it comes to interest rate cuts? And could that mean further cuts are in order? The answers are yes and yes. We'll talk about that next. All right, well, I got something kind of fun to talk about here. The 12 days of Christmas is underway here on the flag, and we have a very cool prize that's coming up for you. I'm going to talk about what's going to be going on Monday, so I'm a little early on this one, but I'm excited. I recently bought a guitar from Flatland Guitar, and I've been wanting to learn how to play the guitar for a few years now and said, you know, I'm going to go get this done. I hear Flatland Guitar advertising on our stations, and I'm like, okay, support some good clients here. Go get myself a guitar. Well, shoot, I see that Monday's 12 Days of Christmas prize is from Flatland Guitar. It's the Breedlove Discovery Concerto Acoustic Electric Guitar. It's a $500 value on sale now if you tell them you heard about it here on the Steve Show, for $399, made of European spruce, African mahogany. How's that? Well, that sounds fancy. And designed with new players in mind. Well, that's right after my heart right there. Richly resonant Echo Wood tone technology and concert body shape, well-balanced, compact, and comfortable to play for any hand size. The Tone Woods produce an environmentally friendly instrument with vibrant sound. Listen to the Need to Know Morning Show on Monday morning, and you can win this bad boy. How great is that? A free electric guitar just in time for Christmas from the folks at Flatland Guitar in Fargo. That's super cool. And I'll be listening. I cannot win. I am not eligible to win said prize. And I just got one. I don't know that I want to try tackling another guitar. The one I got, the acoustic, is enough for me. I'm telling you right now. I'm getting those calluses on the tips of my fingers. And that's sort of a painful process, but it's starting to firm up a little bit, so all good. 4:30 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, I've got a whole bunch of interesting things I want to talk about, but we've got a news and weather break to get to. On the way yet in this hour of the program, I've just about had it with these name a snowplow contests. What is it? Every city, every county, every state has to have a snowplow naming contest. And then the Federal Reserve, we find out, may actually be looking at data that doesn't do them a whole lot of good. Because of it, they might be making the wrong decisions on interest rates. So all that coming up before we get to the end of this hour. First, so let's head on down to the newsroom. Austin's got an update on what's been happening. 4:38, Steve Hallstrom Show. We are obsessed with naming snowplows in our part of the world. The Minnesota Department of Transportation has put out its annual Name a Snowplow contest. And they're so proud of themselves for these things. I don't know how much time is spent by municipalities across our fine country putting together Name a Snowplow contest, but I honestly cannot think of anything that seems like a bigger waste of time to me from our elected officials than the annual Name a Snowplow contest. And we get it from the city and the county and the State Department of Transportation. Probably the federal DOT has some program too. We cannot get enough naming snow. We're addicted to naming snowplows. We think we're so clever with the names we come up with. And I try not to be the grumpy old man, get off my lawn kind of a guy. But seriously, what are we doing here? Does anybody think this is entertaining or funny or what? And they all end up like Snowy McSnow Bank or something. It just... dumb names that do people sit around and laugh at this? I don't know. But someone makes these things. They put a website up on these things and they write the press release and send it out. Look, this is not sinister here. We waste a lot more things in government than this. But I just, every time I see one of these, I go, do we really have another one of these? Why must you shove these things down our throat? I don't know. I guess I need to lighten up a little bit. I don't know that I understand it. Don't know that I ever will. But if you want to help name the Minnesota Department of Transportation snowplows, there you go. Now, watch now. I'm going to get emails from people like, I love the name of snow. It's my favorite part of the winter when we get to name the snowplows. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just an old crabby man about this, but it seems so incredibly silly to me. 4:40 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. One thing that is not silly is when we find out about great local businesses that are up-and-comers and getting really cool awards or grants or new projects. And I love learning about other businesses. As the president of our company and one of the owners here, I enjoy hearing about what's going on in the other pieces of our commercial circle here in the community. And so with that, we are pleased to be joined on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line today by Terry Zimmerman, the CEO of a company called Packet Digital in Fargo. Terry, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Good afternoon, Steve. It's a pleasure to join you today. I'm excited to be on your show. I grew up in Hanna, North Dakota, and as a farm kid, the radio was always on. So I'm excited to have a moment on the radio with you.
Yeah, you and I grew up the same way then. I did too. We had the radio on all the time. And when it wasn't country music, it was talk radio. And still a lot of my life is talk radio and some country music too. So thanks for doing this, Terry. Let me, first of all, before we get into the information about what your company is doing right now and some of the really cool things that are happening to you, tell us a little bit about Packet Digital. What do you all do?
All right. Well, at Packet Digital, we build batteries for autonomous systems. So think something in the air like a drone, or in space like satellites, and even navigating submersibles with battery systems. So we got our start in 2003 and really cut our teeth on building really small computer chips, maybe about the size of a little smaller than your fingertip, and we built some military chips that were integrated into some radios for the Marines, and when they were looking for an extended endurance drone, they turned to us to build a battery, and in 2014, we built our first battery and our first power module for drones, and we transformed that platform from a 90-minute flight time into one capable of flying for 15 to 18 hours.
Wow, that's amazing. I struggle to build a fantasy football lineup every weekend, and then I hear about people like you all who are building batteries and computer chips and things like that, and I say, thank goodness that the good Lord created a lot of us with a lot of different abilities, because if it were left to Steve Hallstrom to come up with these things, we would be in bad shape here in our country. What a wonderful story. How did this whole thing start?
Well, we got started building chips and just kind of gradually transitioned to looking for markets that had a good trajectory. We were focused on sort of the wave towards electrification and sort of the momentum between autonomous systems. So we were really looking to build power systems in one of those markets. And after that first success with the Marines, we got the attention of the Pentagon, and the Pentagon was like, well, if you can take minutes to hours, can you take hours to days? And so we were successful in achieving multi-day flight for them, and that really gave us tremendous visibility in the aerospace and defense market, and we just started signing commercial contracts.
Wonderful. So how many people work for your company altogether now, Terry?
We have about 70 people right now, and about 2 years ago, we only had about 40 people, and we're hiring another 40 people in 2026.
Wow, that is a growth pattern for sure. That's fantastic. Are you privately held? Are you an LLC, a corporation? What's your structure of ownership, Terry?
Yes, we are an LLC. Pat Sweeney and I are the largest investors. Pat owns the Fargo Jet Center and weather modification. He's always been super passionate about aviation, innovation, and customer satisfaction, and that was just a tremendous fit for us, and he's one of our largest investors. And he also works within the industry. It's very similar to ours, drones and aviation and aerospace. We have several investors across North Dakota, including farmers, entrepreneurs, and investors.
What a great story. What's your background, Terry? How did you come up through the professional ranks to the position you have now as the lead executive there?
I went to UND, and I worked for Deloitte & Touche in Minneapolis, a large public accounting and consulting firm, and Great Plains Software, which was a company here in Fargo working on mid-market accounting applications, enterprise applications. They hired me to be the chief financial officer. And I came to Fargo and was happy to be back in North Dakota where my family was, and worked with Great Plains, and was excited to be part of some innovators, and worked with Doug Burgum, and he kind of changed how I thought about things. I kind of came in as a hard-hitting business person, and you know, he really looked at you know, let's take care of customers and employees, and you know, focus, you know, a lot of emphasis on the human resources side and taking care of employees. And so that really sort of transformed how I thought about things. And so I left Great Plains and, you know, worked for a couple other companies. So I've been a C-suite executive, and sort of bringing those principles of culture is one of the most important things inside of an organization. And here we really focus on innovation, collaboration, and we've really been successful in hiring people that really embrace those shared values.
What a great story. What a great story. So, Terry, as you look at how Packet Digital has grown, tell me what you think the keys to the growth for your company have been. Why have you been able to grow and develop your company the way that you have? What's kind of been the secret of your success, do you think?
You know, I do think our shared values and the culture we have is creating an environment where we've been able to build an amazing team. We have an incredible team that leads, and they just continue to expand the capabilities of our company. We focus on innovation and bringing key technologies. If you just kind of really reflect over how we've grown, we started out as just a small team in the Radisson Tower in 2020. We now have 4 facilities across Fargo. In 2021, we moved into our South University headquarters, and we thought, we are all set for the future. And in 2 years, we expanded another 25,000 square feet for a battery pack factory on 7th Avenue North. And we have our own surface mount technology line where we produce our own circuit boards. And we're now doing construction, expanding an additional 80,000 square feet. We expect that to be complete next year. And that'll be home for our new Badline battery cell factory and R&D center. So as you can kind of tell, we have a lot of capabilities that we've really built since 2020, and it's really those team members that have leaned into the vision and the mission of where we're going, of empowering autonomous systems, and just continue to expand our capabilities across innovation, R&D, engineering, and really all aspects of our business, and our ability to take that innovation into prototype and then bring it into manufacturing. And we really saw the importance of building it at home. And we felt the squeeze kind of during the pandemic of the supply chain. And so we made a strategic decision to focus on building capabilities here at home in Fargo and focus on the supply chain itself. And so that sort of, I think, made a difference as, you know, the United States government and our Department of War have realized we've relied on adversaries for products, especially in the battery space, you know, since we've started making a U.S.-made solution and focused on reliability and defense-grade solutions, we've found ourselves in the sweet spot with a team with amazing capabilities to deliver reliable U.S.-made solutions.
Well, and it's not a surprise to me when you give your kind of the synopsis of how you have grown your company. You've got obviously very smart and talented people on the design side, but when I hear you talk about that attention to culture and you're calling your employees teammates or team members, that's no secret why you've grown, because you, when you put that high-end technology piece and the thinking piece together along with that environment where you try to create a place that people really want to be a part of and connect within the workplace, that's how great businesses are built. And so no surprise to see that great things have happened. So congrats on all that you have done. You recently secured a big award from a kind of a federal agency to help with some things that are going to be able to make a big difference for our country. Tell us a little bit about what's been happening recently here with your company.
Steve, thanks for asking about that. We are really thrilled about winning this AFA Procurement Award. It accelerates production of high-performance batteries for us, particularly around uncrewed unmanned systems, drones. and we'll be deploying systems for the military across the Navy, Army, Air Force, and SOCOM. It really was a very rigorous month-long evaluation of our capabilities in a very competitive environment. So as you mentioned, you know, this is up to a $50 million procurement award for military purchases of the batteries from our facilities here in Fargo, North Dakota. And it really, I feel, underscores the Department of War's confidence in our ability to deliver trusted American-made solutions, really accelerating the delivery of meaningful hardware directly to the warfighter.
Well, and when you talk about a $50 million award or up to that to fulfill that order, the part of it that really jumps out to me is American-made products going to American defense systems, UAS systems, that are very important to the Department of War. And thank you for being specific on that, because that's how we refer to that department these days around here as well. And boy, is there anything better than a Fargo-based company making products that we need for our defense and for our war systems, and knowing it's happening just right here in our own backyard. It's a fantastic development, and it's a lot of fun for us to follow along on this ride. And a lot of us are getting to know you now here as we go through this interview together, and it'll be fun to see what happens with you down the line. Before I let you go and before we finish up the conversation, any last comments you want to give about your company's growth or what you hope to be able to do in the future based on this award or some of the other things that you're doing?
Thanks. We're really pushing the boundaries at Packet Digital. We've achieved multi-day flight. We've set the world record for wireless power beaming. We're now focused on scaling our advanced battery technology right here in North Dakota. We hope we continue to see the growth that we've seen in this space, create more jobs in the region, and deliver innovation that makes a real impact. So thank you for having me on the show, and thank you for your voice in the community.
Well, it's been so fun to learn about your company here through the press releases from our friend Jake, who has sent these things along the way, and then the visit today. Terry, thank you very much for taking the time. Congratulations again for what you've done, making our community great, making our country better and more safe as well. We appreciate it all.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks very much for the time. Terry Zimmerman, CEO of Fargo-based Packet Digital. What a cool story that is. All right, we got a short break. Coming back after this, more on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Applications are now open for the federal government's new Gold Card Visa program. And somebody from overseas can become a citizen of the United States by plopping down a cool $1 million and buying a Trump Gold Card. The applications are open, says Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, and you have to pay a $15,000 processing fee, and then you undergo rigorous vetting to make sure that you are the top of the top, is what Donald Trump is looking for, and this money will all go right to the United States government. It's a non-refundable $15,000 processing fee, and after vetting, if you get approved, $1 million, and then you can become a citizen. And the president says we're taking people in who are not able to necessarily in a lot of cases contribute much or bring skills or talents that we don't have. Let's try to get the best of the best coming in here as well. So the applications are open and people can now apply for a Trump Visa or Trump Gold Card Visa. I got to watch where I put Visa in there because it sounds like you're applying for a credit card. So I don't know how many people will do this, but they think they can make a lot of money. And why would we not want to recruit the best and the brightest to our country? No question about that. All right, hour number one of the books, Top 5 at 5, coming up next. Here we go with hour number two, the Steve Hallstrom Show, coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com, Vision, Ford, Lincoln, in Wahpeton, where all it takes is 15 minutes of your time to buy a new car, truck, or SUV, or a really nice pre-owned car, truck, or SUV as well. Vision, Ford, Lincoln, in Wahpeton. We begin the 5 o'clock hour most every day with the top 5 at 5. These are what I believe to be the 5 most consequential stories in the news cycle today. Stories that pass the so what test. There's a lot in the news that you say, okay, I guess it's nice to know, but big deal. Well, these five stories, are stories that I think move up the ladder of importance to things that generally mean something to those of us on the conservative side. So let's start with what we have made a big deal of over probably the last month or so, and sort of another chapter being added to. We've talked a lot about the Downtown Engagement Center and the Needle Exchange Program. Well, we now know that because of the work of one Fargo City Commissioner, Michelle Turnberg, that we have had almost 1 million needles handed out at the Needle, quote-unquote, exchange program, which I don't think is even an exchange program anymore. But since the start of 2024, the city has given out almost 1 million needles. So there are many questions here. Number one, I don't know how much a needle costs, but if you have to supply 1 million of anything with taxpayer money, and don't give me this line about, well, this money comes from a grant from the National Institute of what, I don't care. If we didn't have that money going to that, we could have money that goes from the National Institute with something or another that could help us with something else within the city. So we need to make sure that the tax money is going to things that we really do need. And that's not even getting to the whole conversation of should we even have this program. 1 million needles. I think the population of Fargo is like 150,000 or something to that effect. Let's say it's 200,000. Because, I mean, how do you know? My guess is they're not thoroughly vetting all these people. Like, show me your driver's license or a utility bill to prove your residence. I imagine you just come and you get your needles. But let's say there's 200,000 people. That means that for every resident of this city, that they've given out 5 needles over these 2 years. I don't know how often people who use drugs need needles. But apparently, I'm assuming that not all 200,000 people in our community are going to get needles. So that means some people are using a lot of needles very often. The commissioner says that she posted this on social media saying, I want to know where is this money coming from, what is being given out, and who is paying for it. And in her post that she put out on social media, she included images of discarded needles and what appeared to be budget documents for Fargo Public Health's Harm Reduction Division, which, again, that's a poorly named agency as well. We're not reducing harm to anybody by allowing them to continue this lifestyle of killing themselves slowly but surely by condoning their drug use. Turnberg has said that she's been told to stay in her lane. Stop asking questions about these things. But she says, Fargo residents deserve answers. I'll keep fighting to uncover the truth. The program began as a traditional needle exchange in 2018. Good for you, Michelle Turnberg. I think Jay Thomas, when he was on with us yesterday, was saying that they've had like 700,000 that have been returned. But that means there's 300,000 needles that haven't been. And who knows where they end up, right? End up in the trash, and trash workers have to clean out dumpsters and some of the images we've seen, photos of, are just needles laying in gutters and back alleys and things like that. So, you know, what are we doing here on 100 different levels? That's story number one. Story number two, the adults are back in the room. North Dakotans receiving federal food assistance will not be able to use those benefits anymore to buy candy, pop, and other snack foods. This after the state has implemented changes approved by the Trump administration. The U.S. Department of Ag has approved North Dakota's application for a food restriction waiver in the SNAP program, which is the food stamp program. Now, I have many questions here as well. Like, why is this a waiver? Like, you should have to get a waiver to get these things to begin with. But no, this is the standard fare of someone who gets SNAP benefits. You can use my tax money and your tax money because we are the ones who fund all this. And because we pay our hard-earned money, someone else can have some pop or some candy. Isn't that nice that they can do all that with the money that other people are providing for this program? How about fruits and vegetables, lean meats, protein, breads, pasta, things like this, real food? But no, we are giving our tax money to people to buy pop and candy. Just another example. You've heard me say, the president drives me nuts sometimes with all the goofy things he says without thinking about it. It doesn't seem very presidential to me. But thank goodness that he's doing these things and that it's the Trump administration, surprise, surprise, that is finally the ones that are going, what are we doing here with this thing? And they are taking a look at things that have always been there, and people are just, oh, well, not a big deal, but it is a big deal. Our country is broke. Our people are being taxed to the gills, and we keep writing our tax checks out so people can buy pop and candy. Well, not any longer, and not any longer in North Dakota. This is a good thing. Story number three, there is a new entrant into the Minnesota GOP primary for governor. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell is in. He joins the field. Now there's about a dozen people who are hoping to be the nominee of the party to go ahead and take on Tim Walz in 2026, who is as beatable as he has ever been, but we're in either right candidate. Lindell made the announcement today. We knew that he was making an announcement, and so we knew that he was going to get in, basically. Lindell said, he told the Star Tribune that he considers himself to be the front runner for the GOP field. He said he is going to run the government like a business, and he will not back down from his election fraud theories, which have gotten him into hot water, and a few legal wranglings as well. He is the most well-known Republican now running for governor. Name recognition is something valuable, no question about that. He says he hopes to get President Trump's endorsement, but he said the president didn't back him when he ran for chair of the Republican National Committee, and he ran a successful campaign there, didn't get the nomination, but ran a good race, he said, so either way. And he also said that Rudy Giuliani is giving him political advice, and Trump had Rudy Giuliani as a personal lawyer a few years ago. So Lindell said he's been part of many campaigns. He knows what he's doing. So that announcement today from Mike Lindell, and he is into the pool now as well. Story number four, CNBC reports that home prices have finally come down compared with last year. Negative for the first time in more than 2 years. Home prices are down 1.4% nationwide on average over the last 3 months. This is the first time that this has happened for quite some time, and economists expect that it might stay that way for a little while. This is the first time since mid-2023, so 2.5 years ago, where we saw a drop in prices there. So down 1.4% in just the last 3 months. There's a lot of other interesting footnotes in the story, but I don't have time to get into all of them. If you're wondering where home prices are dropping the farthest, the fastest, Austin, Texas down 10% from last year, Denver down 5%, Tampa, Florida, and Houston down 4%, Atlanta and Phoenix down 3%. There are markets seeing gains. In Cleveland, prices went up 6%. Chicago and New York City both saw increases of 5% as well. In North Dakota, Dave Noah, our buddy from Remax Legacy Realty, told us it was pretty flat here this past year. So thought that was interesting. That's story number four. And finally, story number five is a little involved. I'll try to make this as sixth grade level as I can. So the Federal Reserve has come out and said, we're trying to do two things when we manipulate interest rates. We're trying to slow down inflation, and we're trying to head off the impacts of higher unemployment. When they cut rates, it helps them kind of manage the jobs picture a little bit there. But at Jerome Powell's news conference yesterday, a couple different times, he mentioned that there has likely been negative job growth in recent months, but that situation has likely been underreported because either the federal government was not working in October and part of November because we had the government shut down, or we just have had faulty data. His belief is that we have more job openings out there than what is really being shown. Now, there have been other people arguing the other way, that there's a lot of job openings out there that aren't really legitimate. Like when a company posts a job, for instance, and we have an opening for an accountant or whatever it might be, well, we might hire the accountant, but maybe the posting stays up and you don't really need somebody, but it takes a few months for that posting to lapse. And some companies say, we're going to need to hire five accountants in the next 2 years, so we'll just kind of leave it out there. And they kind of change paths, but they don't really cancel all the job postings that are out there that are, are circulating in the classifieds, if you will. So there's a lot of debate about this whole thing. But the reason this matters is that if we knew exactly how many job openings there really were, it might give us a different picture on what the Federal Reserve should do. And if Powell is right, and there are more job openings out there than what we realize, then that means that you've got more jobs than people, which has been kind of the situation for a long time. And that could make an argument for easier monetary policy if we got negative job growth. So that could mean lowering of interest rates. So it almost was as though Powell yesterday, and I told you this yesterday, he kind of seemed like he was at peace with everything, with, okay, we're doing this, and this is kind of the last of a series of rate cuts, and now we're just going to sit back and watch. But it was interesting that he said, look, if there are more job market concerns out there than what we know about, then we might have to do something else. And so balancing all of that between the labor market and inflation is a game that Fed has tried to play for years. And there's no rule that says they have to have this dual mandate of, you know, balanced employment and low interest rates. But they have decided that these are the two things they're going to try to balance when they do this. And so you have some Fed governors that are voting based on what they see with inflation. Some are voting based on what they see with the jobs market. So just thought that was an interesting little dynamic within this whole discussion there. So Powell said a couple of times that there's likely been negative job growth in recent months. And if that is the case, then we may not have seen the last of the interest rate cuts. So there you go. All right, those are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories that are running around in the news cycle today. We call it the top five at five. All right, when we return here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, we will give you, I promised this to you for a couple of days now, I'm going to finally be a man of integrity here, the GOP governor's candidate forum that was held in Marshall, Minnesota a couple nights ago. How are those nine people trying to separate from the pack? So we'll talk about that coming up next. Tomorrow's 12 Days of Christmas prize package is from Fidium Business Fiber, formerly known as Consolidated Communications. We got a really cool prize basket. Hillshire Farms meats and cheese with crackers, a Consolidated golf accessory package, golf balls, a variety of chocolates, and a four-pack of Fargo Force tickets for a couple different games. This includes the New Year's Eve game, which is always a blast over there at Shields Arena. Value more than $190, but you could win it listening tomorrow morning on the Need to Know Morning Show with Kevin and Alex for your chance to win. Thank you to Fidium Business Fiber, formerly known as Consolidated Communications. All right, we are going to go, before I get to my next story here, let's go to the phone lines, and I believe it's Tom Addison. Did I hear that right? Tom wants to jump on the program with us. Tom, good afternoon. Thanks for calling the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Steve, real quick. So the needle exchange thing, is this, and this is a serious question. So can diabetics, could they get in on this? Would that help them save money?
It's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that. My sense is that if anybody's using it for that, it's a very small number of people. My brother's a diabetic, and he needs the syringes and the needles, and I think that's a little different size than what they're talking about with these, but I don't know that. I don't know the answer to your question, but it's a fair question.
Oh, you're right. I'm sure it is a small percentage, but it would be nice that they could be able to get in on something like this. That was all I was thinking.
Yeah, I think the program is intended for people. I mean, we know what right. the intent is, what they tell us. It's intended for people that are using drugs, illegal drugs. I know it's just goofy, but the program is for them so that they can get clean needles so they don't hurt themselves with a dirty needle further. So my guess is if you went there and said, I'm a diabetic, they'd say, I'm sorry, that's not what the funding for this program is for, and you probably would strike out, would be my guess.
Right. Yeah, and then one other thing on posting the jobs thing.
Yeah.
You know, don't a lot of employees or employers have to legally post a job even though they know they're probably going to hire from within? But legally, they have to do that for whatever reason. HR will say they have to do this. They have to post the job for a week or 2 weeks. But they've already know who they're going to pick. Could this be happening as well?
Many times that's the case, yes. Or you might know of a candidate that you know you want to hire, but you've got to go through the process and interview a number of other people. So, right. Yeah, there's those things do happen with that. Now, if you do promote someone from within, you might have to hire somebody to kind of backfill that position. So you might end up posting for a job anyway, but you're 100% right. A lot of, I mean, these are rules that are put into place. It's kind of archaic. They do these things so that you have to prove as an employer, at least we do in our industry. I don't know if every business is the same way. Probably most of them are. We just have to show that we've interviewed a multiple of people so that we give opportunities in theory to disadvantaged groups so that they could get a better shot. And you're not just hiring your buddies, which most people are going to end up hiring who they want anyway. But it's just it's the game you have to play.
Right. Okay, Steve, thank you so very much.
Thanks.
Have a great evening.
Thanks a lot for giving a call. Appreciate that. All right, 527, Steve Hallstrom Show. I want to try to give you the high points from the first candidate forum for the Minnesota GOP governor candidates that took the stage in Marshall, Minnesota. This was the Southwest State University College Republicans. And there were nine Republicans who are contending for the Republican nomination run against Tim Walz in 2026. Big takeaways here. Kendall Qualls said something that was very notable. He said about the Trump endorsement, we are seeking President Trump's endorsement, and if he gives it to you, it's game over match. So there has been a lot of discussion in Minnesota about does Donald Trump's name carry the kind of weight it does in, say, North Dakota or South Dakota? Well, Kendall Qualls thinks it does because he went on the record and said whoever the president endorses, it's game, set, match. And nearly every candidate was very clear that they're seeking Trump's endorsement. The only one apparently who didn't really say that it was a huge pursuit for him was Scott Jensen. But he said it'd be great if he gave it. I'm just not feeling like it's, you know, worth crawling naked through broken glass. So that was an interesting storyline there as well. Another one that I thought was interesting there is that there were a number of people that took issue with Donald Trump's verbiage on the Somali community. And this has been, as you know, beaten to death by people who just feel like he is a racist and he should be taken out back and shot. You can't ever say these things. The thing is about a garbage Somali community. We've talked about this on this show. I don't like it either, but it's being played up as though, you know, it's a capital offense here. And do I like it? No. Do I excuse it? No. Is it worth me saying, well, he shouldn't be president anymore? No. So some of the candidates did say publicly that they took issue with it. There was one gentleman by the name of Kohler, and he is someone who is a former like a mixed martial arts guy who is now running, and I don't know his credentials. Brad Kohler is his name. He came out and said that Trump's comments about minorities set the GOP back in their efforts to win over voters of color in the Twin Cities. He said, when this stuff comes out at 3 a.m. on a tweet, and you wake up and all of a sudden you're losing ground with minorities, it's very frustrating. Jeff Johnson, who was in this thing 8 years ago, said, when the president did call a group of people garbage, I had a hard time on that. Everyone was made in the image of God. I realize that there are some groups that frustrate the president, some that don't. For me, it was hard to hear that comment. So that's kind of takeaway number two. But everybody said that they would sign bills barring transgender athletes from competing in girls' sports and disallowing sanctuary cities and counties in Minnesota. So everybody was pretty much in unanimity on that. And then finally, Chris Maddle, who is the attorney who has defended Alpha News in some of their lawsuits, and Scott Jensen, both took a jab at those in the race who are current Republican lawmakers in the state. Maddle said, all the state government, Republicans and Democrats, have done nothing with respect to fraud. They've done literally nothing except write letters. And then Maddle cited his own fraud-fighting credentials. And Jensen said, after Lisa Daymuth touted spending cuts during the past legislative session, Jensen said she should have fought for bigger cuts to the state budget. He said, quote, Trump showed the path. We need to shut down the government if we need to. We need to draw a line in the sand. And that comment will cause many to paint Jensen as an extremist, being willing to shut down the government. That's kind of been a controversial thing, even among Republicans. But it's something that the hardcore fiscal hawks in the party and the conservatives, the true conservatives, have said that we need to be willing to shut down the government if need be. So Mike Lindell was not there. He had not yet announced, but the next time they do one of these, I imagine he will be in the picture, because now he, after today, is in. All right, 5:32, Steve Alsham Show. When we come back here on the program, I say often that we do life together on this show, and I had to do a little bit of life today, and I have a reflection on a friend gone way too soon and an encouragement / challenge for you coming out of all that. I'll do that next on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Roe and Joe Junk Haul and Removal is your first call and your only call when you want people to get that job done right. Got some junk that needs to be hauled out, whether it's residential, commercial. Maybe you have to go through the home of a loved one who has passed away, and now you take a look at all the stuff in that house and you say, what are we going to do with this? Maybe they weren't even an outright hoarder, but they just had a ton of stuff, and what are you going to do with it? Nobody really wants it anymore. It's tough to do a garage sale. You might just say, let's get it out of here. That's when you call John Minton from Roe and Joe Junk Haul and Removal. He's a 30-year combat vet. That means he's got the tenacity and the know-how to get a job done. And when they do a job, they put their family's name on it. Don't call those 1-800 out-of-town people. They don't know how to get a job done the way we do here in our part of the world. Go to roeandjoejunk.com, roenjojunk.com. roenjojunk.com. When it's got to go, call Rowan Joe. 5:38, Steve Alsham Show. It was about 10 years ago that I heard a speaker talking about how he wanted to be remembered when it was all said and done. And he said, when I pass away, I don't want to be known as some guy who is a good, I think he was an athlete of some kind, a good basketball player or a great executive, made a lot of money, whatever. I really want to be remembered when people think about me by saying, you know what, that Jim or whatever his name was, he was a guy that really loved people. And that hit me hard for some reason. So I started to pray right around then that God would give me that kind of a heart. Because while I've always, you know, cared for people that I care about, I didn't have that kind of a heart where I just wanted to be someone known as someone who loved people. Well, the problem with God is that he answers those prayers, and I have become a lot more emotional over the years. Things affect me, people, either good or bad. They just tug at my heartstrings in a different way. Memories and times with family and friends. I find myself getting choked up and a tear in the eye, a little misty, just appreciating people. And I know that's because God has changed my heart. And I am a million miles away from where I want to be. Don't get me wrong. I don't have it all figured out, and I fail at this a lot. But I've come a long way from where I used to be. Things, when it comes to relationships, friends, family, they just break my heart way more than they used to. And simple things hit me like a ton of bricks. And maybe I'm just getting a little older and softer. Who knows? Well, my heart broke today. It was about 3:00, and I was just starting to get ready for the show. And as you know, I do my A job here and kind of run the business office. And then about 3:15, I start getting ready for the show and kind of cram on the exam of figuring out everything that happened today so I can tell you, because you've been working, doing other things all day too. And so about 3:00, I start digging up my stories and kind of going through all my news sites to find out what happened. So I saw a text come in from my college buddies group chat. We all play fantasy football together, and we have for 35 years, and it's a ton of fun. There's 8 of us, and it's common, especially this time of year. We're getting toward the end of the regular season, start of the playoffs. We'll talk a little trash or wish good luck to each other with the playoffs starting this weekend. So to be honest with you, I just opened up the string to clear out my queue so it didn't show I had a notification or a new message that I hadn't seen yet and was going to scan it quick before I started getting my show ready. And so open it up, and I'm expecting to see a message something like, hey, make sure your lineups are set for Wednesday night or whatever, you know, whatever it might be. You can't pick up any more guys off the waiver wire this week. So I was just kind of like, grab the phone, take a quick look, and scroll through there. And what I saw took my breath away. One of our guys in our group died this morning, had a heart attack. He was 60 years old. I remember when 60 sounded old. Now that I'm 58, that doesn't sound very old at all. As you probably know, if you followed my show for any length of time, I'm a marathon runner, and I like to stay active as much as I can year-round. And this guy was as active as I am. He reffed soccer and basketball, had a high school son who was going to go play college football in South Carolina, where he lives right now. Played a ton of softball with him. I just remember we were always doing some sports stuff, either talking sports, watching sports, or playing sports. And he was gone. He was one of the guys who loved Gopher football just like I did. So we went to a couple games together well after college. He and his wife moved away to South Carolina a few years ago, as I mentioned there. But we still stayed in touch. And, you know, I love all my college buddies. But we just had certain things in common. And we just clicked in a different way than I would click in a different way with some of my other buddies there. So definitely we would text about Gopher football and they got this recruit and that recruit or whatever. And I think I've stayed in touch with them pretty well. I don't have a ton of regret like, oh, I kind of lost track with them, because that didn't really happen. Thank goodness for fantasy football, as weird as that sounds. But I have been thinking, one of these days I got to go see that dude. And I guess I'd always hope that somehow, some way, he'd get back home, or I would end up going out to the East Coast sometime. And I'd always had in my mind, gosh, it'd be fun to go to a Gopher game with him again. Or when his son went to, I think he signed with Citadel, a very good football player, and was going to go play Division I football. I was like, I'm going to go watch Nigel play a game out there and see him suit up for the Citadel. And I know that Keith, my buddy, was so proud of him. And I kept thinking, somehow, some way, we're gonna see each other again soon. But it had been a few years since they had moved out there. And no lie, I swear on a stack of Bibles, just about a week ago, I thought, you know, I should try to see when the start of the year stuff, January, early January is just a tough time at work. But I thought maybe I should go see Keith, go play a little golf. I mean, you can play some golf in South Carolina when it's February and March. And I really was thinking, gosh, I'd love to see that dude again, play a little golf and meet his son and kind of see where he lives now and that kind of thing. But I won't get that chance now. And maybe that's the lesson here, that we can't do it all, obviously. We all have friends that move away, and it's hard, right? I mean, I certainly don't begrudge him for never calling and trying to come up to Fargo. And I know he never felt the same thing. You can't do it all. You can't go everywhere. You can't see everyone. But you know what you can do? You can every once in a while shoot a text over just to say, you know, I really miss those days of going to see a game. And, dude, we got to find a way to do that somehow, some way, someday. And when you say that to your friends, I think you both kind of know, like, okay, our hearts are in the right place. It's going to be really tough if we're honest about it. It probably isn't going to happen even, but just the fact that you take the time and tell those people, you know, we got to try to do this. And I sure remember those times, and gosh, we have some good memories. Man, I miss those days, and I would love to get together again. So if I have a regret today, I don't think there's anything here that's going to keep me up at night, but my encouragement to you is the same one that I'm going to take with me. And that is, it doesn't take any time to shoot off a quick text message. These days with voice technology, super easy and super fast. Just, you know, a couple of sentences that you took time out of your day, as busy as it was, just to send something to a friend like that. Doesn't take any time, doesn't take any talent. It just takes you to be faithful to honoring your friend. And I am blessed with some friends that are brothers. And we've, boy, we've been grieving on the text chain today. It's been hard. It's been a really hard day. But if anything, it reminds me of how much better I can be at things like that. And I think we can all say that. And none of us are going to be perfect. I mean, think about how many friends and family, whatever, do we have? You're always going to miss a few. You're never going to be as good at this stuff as you can. But as often as you can, when you think about it, send that text. Hey, buddy, let's get together. It's been too long. Let's grab a lunch, grab a coffee. Or if they're half a world away, just say, God, dude, I sure miss those times. Wasn't that fun? Remember that time when we whatever? And when you get those messages, that's different. It used to be if you got a handwritten letter in the mail. Well, nobody does that. And texts and emails are way too overused, but not those kind of texts. Those are different. Or those emails. Those jump out. Those are different. That's someone taking time and giving you the gift of friendship by taking a couple minutes out of their busy day to let you know that you matter. And I can rest in knowing that I know that my friend knew that he mattered to me. I know that. And boy, that's a better feeling than oh, gosh, I haven't talked to that guy in ages, right? And you know what? I've got those friends too, so I need to be better at that. But I've lived a while now in this stage of life when you start to lose your parents and your friends start to lose theirs. I can handle that because those folks are in their 80s now for someone of my age. And friends are starting to lose their moms and dads. In a lot of cases, they are like aunts and uncles. I've got a funeral actually for my best buddy in high school. His dad passed away recently, and I spent about as much time in his house as I did my own in high school. They lived in town. We lived on the farm. So when there was a game after school that night, I couldn't really come home. There wasn't time. I'd go to my buddy Mark's house, and his dad and his mom were there and took care of us, gave us some food before the game, and then we'd go up to the school or over to the bus and do that. And so those things are happening fairly regularly now. I've lost one parent, still thankful I have my mom. But those things are different. You're used to that, and you're ready for that. This is the first time I've had to figure out how to get to a funeral to bury one of my college buddies. And not quite ready for this yet. So rest in peace, my friend Keith. And thanks to all of you for letting me pull up the therapy couch. Steve Hallstrom Show back after this. Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton is hiring in their sales and service teams. That could mean the job of a lifetime on the sales side. Make a lot of money just helping people you know, people that you meet, people that come in the dealership, find the perfect car, truck, or SUV that they've been looking for. And the service techs at Vision Ford Lincoln make more than anywhere else in the five-state area. No weekends, full benefits. Vision Ford Lincoln is not just a place to buy a great set of wheels. It's a place to put your service career in overdrive. Go to drivewithvision.com to find out more. That's drivewithvision.com. All right, well, let's talk about some Somali fraud, can we? Change up the vibe of the show. Oh, brother. Liz Collin and the team at Alpha News is at it again, and we are now getting people to come forward and say, yeah, I saw stuff with this money laundering operation coming out of the state of Minnesota. A former TSA agent in the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport by the name of Liz Jackson joined Liz Collin on the Alpha News podcast. She worked at MSP from 2016 to 2021. And I'm reading from the story on Alpha News right now. She explained to Collin, quote, "I've seen a lot of things, but the most shocking is I saw suitcases filled with millions of dollars of cash. And the couriers were always Somali men traveling in pairs. While flying with cash isn't illegal and must be declared, it still seemed suspicious because she estimates that she saw it happen on a weekly basis. The cash was always documented and law enforcement was contacted, she recalled. Quote, I don't know exactly for sure, but it seemed that way. They got through the checkpoint and it absolutely just blew my mind. The first time you open a suitcase and you see millions of dollars in cash. And typically what would happen is the law enforcement officer would come and check their credentials. I don't know what kind of questions they asked them, but their IDs were always documented, probably their plane tickets as well. So there is a trail of that out there. And I would believe with all the cameras at the airport, if they started there, they could probably find each and every individual that brought money through the checkpoint. The MO was always two Somalian men traveling in pairs. Sometimes they both had suitcases. So the process was, as a TSA agent, we'd pull the bag, then we'd bring them to a private screening room, and we'd open the suitcase, make sure that's all it was stacks of cash. With regard to potential fraud, the former TSA agent said, quote, I would imagine if they'd like to find all this cash, they should start at the airport, because in the 5 years I was there, I believe $1 billion probably went through that airport, end quote. And as if that was not concerning enough, she described another incident where she says a Somali man had a carry-on bag filled with brand new passports. Jay Thomas told us this yesterday. You can't even make this up. He was, quote, he was allowed to get through the checkpoint. So where he went with those passports is anybody's guess, end quote. Years ago, when suspected daycare fraud made the news, she said she continuously raised this issue with her colleagues. She said, quote, I've been out of TSA for quite a few years, so since all this fraud came out, the connection has been made, at least in her mind. I didn't feel good about it then, and certainly all makes sense now, end quote. After recent reports alleged that money from Somali fraud schemes ended up in the hands of Al-Shabaab, that's the overseas terrorist organization, Jaxa says it only has confirmed her suspicions. Quote, knowing what I know now, absolutely. There is no question in my mind that that money went to Al-Shabaab. It's been uncomfortable because at the time it just seemed like more should be done. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was a constant thing, end quote. Alpha News has reached out to the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees TSA agents. They say, we also asked the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Minnesota to comment on the story. As of press time, we've not received any statements. Last statement from JAXA, quote, it's so frustrating. It was frustrating when I was a TSA agent, and it's certainly frustrating now watching the state's administration doing what they're doing. Walls and Omar, honestly, they should both resign in shame, end quote. I'll say this again because I feel like in situations like this, it should be said, I don't blame every Somali person in Minnesota for being a criminal or for giving money to Al-Shabaab. It's not about skin color. It's not about nationality. But there is a certain subset within Minnesota that is a problem. And if that means we have to ask tough questions of people with colored skin or that came from a certain place, guess what? We have to ask tough questions of people with colored skin or that came from certain places. But we also have to ask tough questions of people with pasty white skin named Tim Walz and people who work in the state government like Keith Ellison. So this is not a race or color of skin thing. That is lazy and it is disingenuous to say, or ingenuine, whatever the word is, to say, oh, this is just a race thing. It has nothing to do with that. But we have to understand that these are people that have come to our country through non-traditional paths. And after things like this happen, how do you not ask questions if the right thing was done? How do you not? That's not racist. That's just honest. Have a good night, my friend. Keep on flying that flag.